and gentlemen, let's get ready for Face-Off!
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to Face-Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web media, social entrepreneurship, and all kinds of other junk.
We talk about our favorite web apps, which we're going to talk about this special episode. I mean, you might have noticed the intro was a little bit different this time.
Yeah.
This is our 50th episode. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
So there's 52 weeks in a year, which means in two more episodes, it'll be an entire year of our podcasting.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny because there's several things happening at once. It's the new year, happy new year, Mark. I hope you have a great 2010. And it's our 50th episode. So those are kind of interesting sort of things that coincided with each other, right? I mean, it's the new year and sort of our 50th episode of Face Off.
Yep, and it's almost going to be 1 year since we started the show. I think our first episode was January 27th.
Yeah.
Is when it was recorded.
Totally. And I'm starting the new year off right with a cold, which is great.
Oh, man.
Once again, I visited my sister who has children, and they're little pots of
death. Good way to get a cold.
Yeah, they are always sick. So if there's some, odd chopping or something like that in the episode, I apologize. That's me cutting my coughing out because it's going to be loud. Anyway, so we have kind of exciting show lineup for it. We're pretty excited about it. I was just thinking about how funny social entrepreneurship was. First of all, let's get started. We got to try and pay the bills. So our geek tool of the week. This is something we've talked about before on the show, but now Mark has actually purchased it, and he highly encourages any programmer to get it. It's the book Code Complete.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the complete reference for programming, really. I mean, it goes from how the software development lifecycle to nitpicky, like how many spaces you should have your comment, man. And how you should, how many... They've done studies and what's the best, length of a variable? Is it 16 characters or five or short ones and small ones here and there? And it really is. I mean, I don't think it's meant to be read from cover to cover. Mm-hmm. I think it's a reference. And, how I found out about it was, I went to a Stack Overflow, I think it was. And this particular book was voted up by like thousands of people saying, this is the reference that you need to have. And I got it and it's pretty cool.
It's not a pocket reference, though.
No,
unless you got some big pocket.
It'll add some weight to you. this thing is like 1,000 pages, and it's meant to sit, on your shelf, and it's one of those books that you'll have forever. I think totally. So
get it. You can get the link from our show notes. Great book. Mark likes it. I'm gonna have to maybe borrow it from him sometime and take a peek at it myself.
Yeah, and I should mention that it's not necessarily a language specific book or anything.
Yeah.
And they do always show both sides of the story. So they talk about like test-driven development, pros and cons versus the traditional.
Yeah.
And they actually have studies and
that's what I was
publications to back up both sides.
It's not just
so it's
opinion. It's not one guy saying this is how you should do it. They're saying these are the ways you can do it. We think if you do it this way, this is why you should do it this way. If you do it a different way, this is why you should do it that way.
Yep.
So check it out. Code Complete. All right. So. We've been doing Face Off 50 episodes now. We're really excited about it, actually. It was kind of funny. We started off the weekend preparing to record really lazy, actually. We didn't do a whole lot. Weren't super excited about recording. Then we started preparing for the show and looking back at a year. Like I said, it's funny because 50 episodes for us is, right at about it a year of Face Off and stuff. And a look back was very interesting. So... for the web app section, which traditionally is, what I take care of, I wanted to do our favorite web apps of the past 50 episodes / 2009.
Sure. So what are some of the ones that you use on a daily basis
the first one that I love, and I wouldn't even say I use it on a daily basis, but I think just what this web app does makes it so useful for me and my wife and our family, and that's Mint. It certainly didn't start this year, but I really, it became a very important part of my household workflow this year. I've had all my accounts in it now for close to a year. There's lots of information, so it can, when we first started, you know, it had a hard time finding me deals, you know, through mm-hmm. for CDs and interest rates and stuff. But now there's like all kinds of deals, you know, they've, the company, they received a ton more venture capital.
They actually got bought out by, Intuit, right?
Yeah, they got bought out by Intuit, which was a little controversial, but I mean, this website has, you know, helped me so much. I need to be more diligent about going into it, setting up my budgets and following my budgets. And then hopefully in the next year, I can start putting some other things into it that can help out, like when I can start doing some more investing and then put those investments in there and things like that. So I love Mint.
Yeah, and Mint is a huge success story in as far as web apps go. I mean, it's an early, you know, it hasn't been around forever. They got bought out for a lot of money. And not only that, it's a great app for, you know, it's one of your favorite ones you use.
Oh, totally.
So
great. It's awesome. App. They have a great blog too. That's always full of like fun financial information bits, things like that. The other web app, which has been even more cemented by in its usefulness by my purchase of a Motorola Droid, is ping.fm. I don't really tweet as much as I should. I should get better at this. But ping.fm just allows me to consolidate status messages on a bunch of different services. Now that I have a Droid, it's really easy. There's a Ping Droid app for it. Makes it really easy to use. I can ping, I can send things out to Twitter and Facebook a lot easier now. I need to get better about still going into places like Twitter and interacting just with Twitter, because sometimes like I'll try and tweet stuff out, but because I want to use like an at symbol or something like that, which doesn't, you know, I can't use with Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't. So I need to get better about doing that.
So as a recap, Ping is basically an aggregator where you just, it puts it out.
It's to like Facebook, a broadcast,
Twitter, yeah. You know, all that.
So okay. I go to ping.fm, I put in my status messages, it sends it out to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Laconica, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's great to see, you know, there's all kinds of services popping up all the time, and something like this is great to, I mean, we're seeing a lot of this like backup. Back up the various different services, whether it be Flickr or whatever, and mm-hmm. Having something like Ping where you can, upload content to all totally. The different sites at once is really helpful.
Yeah. So the next one I think that is a web app of the year for both of us is mm-hmm. Dropbox, and not really it's a web app, but not. But we talked about it on the show before we decided that we were doing strictly sort of, you know, web technology.
Well, it has a web app aspect of it, but I don't use that part of it totally. As much. But yeah, Dropbox, I couldn't leave it off the list.
No,
this thing
goodness.
Is absolutely amazing.
I love Dropbox.
Again, a recap is Dropbox is a service that runs cross-platform, Linux, Mac, Windows. You just drop files in there or create files in there, and they magically show up on all your other computers that are, you know, hooked up to the internet.
Totally.
So it's awesome service.
It's great. Like gone now is the sort of using Subversion and having to, you know, push your code up before you go home so that you can work on it and stuff.
Sure,
you know, you got Dropbox, all your work is synced up with it. I go home, I have it on 5 or 6 different computers.
So
I look,
because
you can look on the website and it tells you how many computers. I have like 5 or 6 computers I use Dropbox on, multi-platform, Linux, Windows, Mac. It's just awesome.
You know, speaking of web app, actually, it does have revisions and things, and you can actually go on there and check out revisions through the web interface.
Yeah.
So it actually does have a web app side.
It does.
And yeah, you described it perfectly. You put your program, you know, you start programming, you just shut your lid on your laptop and go eat some lunch and come back on a different computer, and it's there ready
right
for
there.
You.
Yeah.
It's great.
We actually had a funny moment this weekend because you had offloaded a bunch of pictures on your laptop when you mm-hmm. didn't have internet, and then you opened up your laptop and we were doing some stuff, and I was like, why is my internet so slow? And you're like, well, Dropbox is working, but I can't think of why. And then we were like figuring out, and you had like 2 gigs of pictures or something like that.
I did a Dropbox status. It's like uploading 290-some files. I was like, what? What would that be? And so I looked, and it was all these pictures. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So it can be goofy sometimes.
Yeah.
But it did have a mechanism to slow it down.
Yep.
So
it worked out great.
Dropbox is great.
Love Dropbox. Google Latitude is another one. Again, cemented my use even more so with the Droid. Before that, I would, you know, use it on my iPod Touch, which is location was sort of haphazard. But now with the Droid, it's like Google Latitude is a service that allows you to sort of update where you are and see where your friends that are using Latitude are as well, using GPS coordinates.
I think we're going to see a lot of this with the popularity of like smartphones and phones that are capable of doing.
Yeah, I think in the next year, especially, we're going to see a lot more geolocation stuff, especially as the new HTML specs get even more solidified, which has geolocation in it. We're going to see a lot more web apps that will ask our browser whether or not they can just grab our location based off of it. So I think that's definitely going to improve.
Yeah. With smartphones, cars are starting to come with internet totally. Enabled devices and things as well.
Yeah, it's great. Like I can, when you're supposed to come over and record, I can go on my phone and see where your last reported latitude location was. And sometimes it's like, you know, 30 miles away, or that like one, a couple of times I check in it, I can see they're coming down the street outside my house because it was updated like, you know, 30 seconds ago. It's great.
The next one that's big is obviously Twitter.
Yeah, this was the year of Twitter for me. I mean, before Twitter's been around and I've known about it, but for the longest time, like I said, I was a Jaiku user. And this year is where I really got into Twitter, really sort of utilized it instead of just kind of, you know, like, what's this Twitter thing? And, okay, that's cool. Like, you know, I'm really starting to follow good people. They've added things like lists now. I have a couple lists I'm following that are amazing, you know, rich with information. And while it isn't a new web app, it was definitely the year of Twitter for me.
It's like a testimonial to the mantra of community is everything. You know, Jaiku might have had better features, arguably,
yeah.
But when everybody's using Twitter, I mean, it just kind of exploded into.
Yeah, we talk about this with video games a lot. You play the game that your friends are playing just mm-hmm. because that's what's most important to you. So if you have people playing that you can play with, that definitely attracts it a lot more.
And I remember I actually got on Twitter because a lot of like programmers and designers were getting on it, and I put a little script on my blog to show my tweets.
Yeah, totally.
And you were using Jaiku, and you're like, I don't like Twitter. And then you moved over, and it's history.
Yeah,
after that
history. So. I mean, Jaiku, as far as I know, is really doesn't have much of a following anymore. And the next two are similar: GitHub and Bitbucket. This was the first year, we'll talk about this later, but we both started using, Git and Mercurial. And for me, especially with GitHub, I don't really use Bitbucket as much, but it not only is a great place to host your code, but it's really great to go and see all the other stuff that people are doing. You can follow projects, see the changes they made. A lot of the big projects that I'm really interested in are on GitHub, so I follow them and I can see changes and interact with the community behind it. It's great.
Yeah, it looks nice. It's easy. Anybody can start a project. It's open source. I think that we're going to see a lot more open source projects and a lot more collaboration on them because it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And it's kind of got that socialness to it, you know?
Totally.
You've got a little avatar picture and you can, communicate with messages and, here's my code. Here's your code. Let's combine them.
Totally. Like coworkers that I have as friends on GitHub. By the way, github.com/JadeRobbins is mine, who just upload like gists, little mm-hmm. snippets of code, and you just log in, you see that, and you're like, oh, I wonder what that was, and go click on it and take a look, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's totally.
Or I can see my friend, fork another project to like take a look at it and modify it his own way. It's really cool. It kind of takes source code hosting and sort of takes it to the social level, which is really cool.
And Bitbucket is really the same kind of thing. Yeah. We talked about this in one of our episodes about the source code management hosting options. Bitbucket is it's heavily, GitHub is really a root. Well, it's not for Ruby, but there's a lot of Ruby.
Yeah, the Ruby community really community adopted on it. There.
Whereas Bitbucket is super Python, just because they use Bitbucket is for Mercurial, not Git.
Yeah,
and Mercurial is written in Python, so there's a huge totally. Python following as well as others. But it really, it's the same kind of thing, and they're both great.
Very cool. All right, and the last one that we want to talk about is Google Docs. Again, Google Docs has not been around, it's been around for quite some time. But the truth is, this was the year where I really started using it. Where I work, we had a big project trying to bring Google Apps for students at Montana State University. So, and, just because we were doing that a lot, we were really using it a lot more, using it at work, using it for, fun projects. We use it for our show notes, for Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I haven't opened another Word or, text editor besides, Vim for word processor.
Yeah.
I haven't opened up another word processor except for to try one out, but I've not seriously used another one at all.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we like you said, our show notes. I can just log in my Google Docs and be like, oh, Jade, add some stuff, and I click on it, add some things, so save it, get out, and go you know, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Just collaboration with employees. Like you said, Google Apps, you can set it up for your company wide and give certain permissions to certain users. And
yeah.
Shit, and it's great.
So those are Mark and I's sort of big web apps of the year that for us sort of personify 2009. I want to hear what your guys' web apps of the year are. Please comment on our episode. I want to know what you guys used, what we missed, what, you know, maybe it was some little web app that, you know, some of these I know, like, you know, ZapReader. I wouldn't say it was a web app of the year for me, but I'm getting better at integrating that into my sort of reading workflow. And once I do, yeah, it's going to be a big change for me. I mean, and I never would have known about it if we weren't looking for stuff for the show.
Yeah, so. And some of them, you know, like I just thought of another one, Google Voice.
With the, yeah. You know,
the Droid thing.
Totally.
It's so integrated that sometimes you forget that you're using it.
I absolutely do.
You know, I use Google Voice for all my voicemails now.
Totally.
And they get transcribed and I get a text message and I can... I mean, it can be funny sometimes, but usually you get the point. Like, yeah. You can kind of tell what they want in the message. It's great.
Totally. Another great, great web app. So tell us, go to the show, go to the, you know, go to the episode, leave a comment, tell us what your web apps of the year were. All right. So now those are our web apps. Let's look at just sort of the year in review. I mean, this is, Mark and I were kind of joking because, at first, you're kind of like, well, it's just been a year. I don't know what to think about it. But when we really sat down, looked through our old episodes, thought about all the things that we've done, I mean, it's been one heck of a year.
It's definitely crazy. We found out that we did not miss a single week.
Not one.
Since we started.
Yeah.
So this is our 50th episode. It's our 50th week. And
yeah. It's been late a couple times. By a day. Well... There's like two episodes where we just forgot to do post-production on it.
We're getting a lot. But it hasn't happened lately.
No.
We have had where we've done the post and everything and just forgot to schedule it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I left it as a draft in WordPress and then woke up the next morning and I went to go share it in Google Reader and I was like, oh, where's the episode?
But really, we haven't had too many mishaps since.
No.
We're getting better about that. Or do you remember we had some hard drive issues a few times?
Oh man, we have had to re-record issues. We've recorded way more than 50 episodes, probably like 55, almost 60. Because there's been a couple screw ups where we've had to re-record, or a couple times where we had to like do hard drive magic to try and repatch it up.
I remember one time we got really flustered and just we lost the one. You know,
yeah,
it was a great episode. We lost it. And we kind of bummed out and we're like, oh, well, let's just record it right now. Redo it. We can do it. And we recorded from the wrong mic. We didn't do our audio test. And so, you know, that was garbage.
Twice in a row.
So we had to do it three times.
Yeah. And then there was one where we recorded and it was kind of junky. And then we lost it. And the next day we recorded. It was an awesome episode.
Yeah,
we had way more energy. It was great.
So we've gotten better about that. We've learned a little bit about backing up. We used, you know, use Time Machine.
Time Machine onto my Drobo.
Yeah, the Drobos. We like our Drobos.
Yeah, that's not web app gadget of the year. Drobos. I'm happy with it. Definitely. This year we're really excited. It's not really a sponsor. We haven't had a lot of. We'll talk about this later. But we don't really have sponsors for the show. But we talked about Red Bull Cola and sent them an email telling them that we talked about it on our show. And they sent us a case of Red Bull Cola. So in honor of that, you and I are drinking Red Bull Cola again for episode 50.
And it is actually really good stuff.
We're really not just saying that.
It is really great. That was really cool.
That was cool.
That they did
that. That was like a defining... there's a couple defining moments you sort of have with this.
We had some... we're going to talk about the special thanks later too, but we had listeners from Belgium.
Yeah.
The UK.
Yeah, it's like this defining moment where you say... I'm not just throwing this out there and it's getting lost on the internet, right? I mean, it doesn't matter.
Sometimes it can feel that way. But
yeah, I mean, that's why we always try and encourage feedback because it really motivates us. I mean, we'll get in a slump. But we got in a while there where we were not coming up with a lot of original content.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, the show, we hadn't heard anything really. No one was really talking to us. And one of my friends, Rob Lund, said like, you know, I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to the show lately. I mean, I still listen to it, but it hasn't been as captivating because you guys have just kind of been rehashing stuff.
Yeah, there was a time where we did about 4 or 5 episodes where we would go and find articles and just talk about the article.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny how motivating it is. Again, that's that sort of moment where you say, wow, well, smart people do listen to this, and that's good. We had a listener that we're going to talk, that we're going to thank later too, who emailed us and said, you know, this is the podcast that it just fits for me. It's exactly what I want. And that was excellent. It just motivated us through the roof. Yep. And this was another one where this company said, hey, thank you for talking about our product. Here is a free case of Red Bull. It's just, I mean, we were like little girls opening this case and drink every single one we would drink and like savor it. Like, you know, this is the taste of success. You know, this is how we know.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yep. So this year was also the year of Super Mario Galaxy and Modern Warfare and Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2. When Mark comes over to record the show, we have a whole weekend. We prep and record, and then after that, we usually, you know, hang out, play video games, talk about stuff. And for about the first 5 months of recording this show, you were addicted to Super Mario Galaxy.
Man, I it was a great game. I've never seen that. Where, you know, where you go upside down. It's this 3D world of these galaxies. In fact, I think I might play it after this podcast. And then it gets you going too, because you beat it. And then it's like you look online and it's like there's a secret level if you beat it.
Beat every level.
And then I like beat all the levels and I was like accomplished. You know, and that was awesome. And it's like, well, you got to beat it as Luigi now. I was like, oh, forget it.
yeah, never mind that junk.
So, yeah, but it was a great game. And then Modern Warfare, we played that too.
Yeah, that almost made you, I think, buy a 360.
Well, I think it was
Call
Madden.
Of Duty. Oh, Madden! Forgot about Madden. Yeah, we played Madden 10.
I'm not. You know, for people that don't know, I'm a huge PC gamer, but new to the console. I've never had a console before.
Yeah.
My brother had like a Super Nintendo or something, but I never had a console. And the Xbox is really cool. I watch Netflix on it and.
Totally.
It's become a media center. You can get tweets on it. It's really cool.
Totally. Totally cool. So those were the video games of the year for us. I forgot about Madden. I didn't put that in the notes. Yeah, we played a lot of Madden. It was very infuriating at times.
Well, it was so competitive.
We'd get really competitive about it. I mean, we'd keep like, all right, well, it's like 4-1. You know, you want to keep going? Yeah, it was... So let's get back on track to real things. This year for me was also the year of Ruby on Rails.
So you learned it. You
didn't. Yeah, I mean, I still wouldn't say I'm like 100% on it because the one thing, and we'll talk about this later, the one thing I had never really done was start to finish a project on it. And I really haven't done that yet by myself.
Okay.
I've seen projects come and go at work, and I work on them. I can help people out with them. I can figure it out enough usually and research it enough to figure out what I need to do and get it done. But I hadn't done that entire process of
by yourself.
Complete thinking about the project, coding it and finishing it and then maintaining it. I hadn't done that all the way through. Without, you know, crippling, like at work, you know, we have some pretty talented programmers at work. So, and I'll admit it, I guess I'll admit it too. I'm not a very good programmer. I don't really enjoy programming a massive amount. I like simple things. Well, that sounds like stupid, but you know what I mean? I'm not a computer science major. I'm not a software engineering major. I majored in business for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. I just happen to enjoy a little bit of programming.
You know, but you have a really strong side in seeing what emerging technologies are coming, how web apps fit together. So, you know, you can see the web app, you can see the whole picture of what, you know, like you can see GitHub and say, this is an awesome website and people are going to use this.
Yeah. I mean, I can see a project and if someone says, hey, I need, you know, to tweak this so that it works, I can do that. I can get into code. I can dig into it. I can figure it out. I can repair it. But really that whole process hadn't happened. And I'm in the process of doing it now. And it's great. Ruby and especially Ruby on Rails is pretty amazing.
It is. I myself have learned it. I don't know if you can ever learn it totally, but
I guess I need to get over that too.
I did a project from start to finish in it, and it works. And there's some of the things in there that's like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I came from a PhD, and we're going to talk about this a little bit too. is PHP. I came from that.
Yeah. And yeah, so I guess you might say it was the year of frameworks for me. I mean, before it's, I've been just total, you know, pure programming, creating sort of my own frameworks of, you know, my sort of back catalog of code I've written. But this year, I mean, I really started learning Ruby on Rails. We looked at things like CodeIgniter. I even started using some CSS frameworks. So really, I mean, it's sort of gotten to the year of do not repeat yourself for me. Don't do work if someone else has. Mm-hmm. Use these frameworks. And these frameworks have really matured. I mean, even like these, you know, to the point of I would put, you know, Blueprint CSS framework in any project and not really worry about, you know, is it mature? Is it going to break?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I've shifted from the whole paradigm of, you know, PHP is embedded in HTML and you have these little pieces of PHP inside your HTML page to this writing functions that build HTML.
Yeah.
Or put little pieces of text within HTML. Yeah, definitely. Which is kind of the MVC model, which Ruby on Rails and Django and Web.py and all these things and all these frameworks kind of adhere to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's sort of, for me, that was like my difference of becoming, you know, sort of this janky web coder, which.
To a real programmer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, being around, like I said, really good programs at work really helped me sort of mature into that and realizing for the longest time, I was like, I don't know, why would you ever spit out code that had spit out HTML? Just embed your code in the HTML, you know, that's the way to do PHP.
Well, it was back in the day.
It was. Kinda. And then now it's becoming sort of more pure with MVC pure programming. I think,
yeah, it really is. And you know, this year has been the year for me to learn languages. Really, I've learned Python, Perl, Ruby, and object-oriented PHP. Before, like we were just talking about, I would just embed PHP all over the place and have, you know, sessions and form builders built into the HTML page and just terrible looking stuff.
Terrible looking.
And I learned that, and it's really been a year for me for learning.
Yeah, you've learned a lot of languages. Frameworks. You've really dug into programming, which is cool. And I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think part of this podcast, you know, was part of that because you start realizing, I mean, it's where fun. You work, you didn't have a whole lot of interaction with other programmers. True. And with this, you kind of, all of a sudden you're like, wow, well, you know, there's a lot of other things to learn out there. And you really dug into it. It was kind of amazing to watch because you were like, hey, look, I did this in Perl. I don't think I'd want to maintain some of your work in the past year because
no, it's terrible.
You're learning like five languages at a time.
Oh, yeah, man. But it really gave me a whole picture of what it really is. And I think that's why I like that Code Complete book because it really is just this is how you program.
Yeah.
Like totally. not a specific language, but this is. And I'm really trying to get back into the best practices, you know, like, you know, distributed source code management, like Git.
Yeah.
Curl.
Yeah. Another thing we learned this year.
I think it was 2 years ago that I learned Subversion and I was just absolutely blown away by that.
Yeah.
And then we get into this distributed stuff like Git and Mercurial and it's just really cool what you can do.
Yeah. Really handy programs. I mean, it's.
So, to get back at it, I'm getting back into the best practices. I'm trying to do, you know, test-driven development, which is another one, and unit tests. I'm trying to, you know, test my code before I even write it and then, you know, have the test, write better documentation, use version control. I'm trying to not be a code cowboy.
Yeah. Test-driven development was another big one. I mean, it you know, maybe had heard of it, maybe, you know, but I really got an understanding of how useful it can be. This year, definitely.
And version control, man, if you're not using it, do yourself a favor and learn it.
Do yourself a favor. All right. Anything else? I mean, it was one heck of a year. You know, the funny thing, I guess, if I can talk about this, you start getting towards the end of the year, you start getting regrets, right? And I thought, man, I really didn't do anything big this year. But then I realized, I mean, this was, you know, Face Off was kind of my big project this year. And although maybe it's not, you know, what I imagined, I guess. I don't know what I imagined that in a year I would have a studio, you know, with like sponsors giving, you know, throwing money at me or something. I don't know, you know. But, you know, I'm really proud of it. It's been a good 50 episodes.
I can't believe that we, you know, did 50 weeks in a row without stopping. Yeah,
crazy. Especially when, I mean, think about it. And for us, I guess, maybe in California, you know, the drive, you know, from your house to mine, it wouldn't be much, but I mean, there's the roads get really bad here sometimes in the winter, and there's a couple times you drove and I was like, oh man.
I specifically remember one time it took me, an hour drive. Normally, it took me 2 or 3 hours once.
That's like dedication.
30 miles an hour style stuff.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
So that's crazy.
One other thing before we get off of this is the restful stuff.
Yeah.
I learned some APIs and actually started a business out of it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Totally. I mean, year in review, man. Well, this was crazy. We talked about this. I sort of redid. I got rid of the old sort of jaderobbins.com. I think you started Nick's Tutor.
Yep.
And Rocket Ship It.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of good stuff.
But I do have a New Year's resolution about
totally.
That.
Okay. So, yeah, this is a great segue, right?
Real quick, though, I need to start finishing some of these projects and focus more on some of these. Because I start a lot of cool stuff, and I can't focus on them, and I go on to something else, and it's really bad.
Me too.
So one of my New Year's resolution is to finish some of my not necessarily finish them, but really focus on the things that I already have and not try to make so many more new things.
Totally. Absolutely. Same thing with me. I mean, I want to have segue. Our next sort of section we decided would be sort of our New Year's resolutions professionally, let's say, right?
Okay.
I'm kind of with you on that. I have jaderobbins.com, which has been barren. I've not really done anything. I think 5 blog posts with it. Mm-hmm. I really want to revive that better. And same thing with Montana Frag Fest. Both are the projects I started. Montana Frag Fest, I need to sort of figure out what I want to do with that. JDramas.com, I need to just, when I think of stuff, it's really terrible. It's so hard to do. You think of things like, oh man, I should blog that on there. And you don't. So yeah. I'm going to get better at those.
Yeah, I need to do the exact same thing. I really want to focus on rebuilding my personal brand and updating, you know, marksanborn.net hasn't been posted in pretty much, I think there was one other post after the post that announced this podcast.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty much a year since I've done anything on that site. That is just not good.
Well, it's a tough website because you have a blog on there that was traditionally just sort of a tech blog, but now, I mean, it almost seems like it might be a better segue to start sort of a... I don't know, because you have Nick's Tutor, so it doesn't really make sense to put Linux stuff on there.
Right. It's,
well, maybe programming stuff.
Yeah. You know, Oddball, just off, you know, stuff that helps build me as a person, my programming skills or what I'm learning or whatever.
Totally.
I want to kind of build, you know, make a marksanborn.net that has information about me and things and then have a blog that's on there.
Yeah.
But not necessarily. Right now, it's just a blog that's...
Totally.
The domain name is my name.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Nick's Tutor, I want to revive that. And
yeah, that was one that, I mean, it's amazing how much traffic you still get on there.
Yeah, I have a couple hundred subscribers, and there's some months where it's, you know, 50, 60,000 people.
Wow.
A month still, and I haven't written, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months.
That's crazy.
But there's some great articles on there, and I really enjoyed, you know, writing the articles. I just, you know, lost sight of it.
Yeah, you just
went on, well, to, like, well, you I said, went on to another project.
Yeah,
is what totally. Happened.
Totally, you have to get back into your love of learning Linux.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one for me is next year. Like you said, I'm going to try not to start any new stuff. I'm not as much as I want to. I think I'm going to try and gather ideas. But the one thing I do want to do is I want to bump up Face Off promotion. I want to get. Just in general, I mean, we started off really strong, and then sort of as the year goes by, you know, you kind of, I got lazy. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I got lazy. I'm going to try and do a better job of promoting Face Off as much as I possibly can, mm-hmm. which fits into some of my other ones that we could talk about later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, yeah, we need to start getting, you know, more guests on, like some really totally. Smart programmers. You work with a bunch of them, and... I think we can find a lot of guys online that would be willing to talk to us.
Totally. Yeah, and I also want to make sure that we stay focused with some entrepreneurial stuff too.
Yep.
The next thing I want to work on, you kind of hit on it too. I want to beef up sort of my website and, well, I mean, I already talked about this a little bit, but sort of my my resume, my credentials, things like that. And I also would like to do one speaking gig. I'd like to do either, you know, paid or not. I don't care. I don't care if it's some kind of small conference or even, you know, if I can make sort of a presentation at work or something like that. I haven't done public speaking in a long time, since I was in school when you had to give presentations for class. So that's about 2 years now. And I want to get back in that because I love it. It's fun.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. So university or whatever conference,
something? I don't care. You know, I mean, if I can even find, you know, a way to give a sack lunch seminar on something through campus or something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do some sort of presentation or public, you know, speaking thing.
Cool.
And the last one that I really want to work on is, in general, I want to come out of my shell. I've kind of, ever since, especially since I graduated school, we're going to CES next week. I've been nervous about it because there's going to be so many people there. We're going to try and meet like Leo Laporte, and there's going to be other people there. And I just get nervous sort of thinking about it. And it's time for me to get used to talking to people, getting connections, networking, finding out cool stuff ahead of time. And really, you know, trying to get involved locally. There's some, you know, tech groups locally and stuff like that I need to get involved with and just get more social minus the media.
Yeah, I think I need to add that one to my list as well. CES is going to be great.
I know.
I think we should segue into CES right now. Talk about it. We're actually going to CES next week.
Yeah.
This time next week, we'll be in CES.
Totally.
And we're going to, well, actually, it's not too late. If you guys email us or whatever and say, you know, you should check out this at CES, we definitely would like that. But we're going to be talking about it and then, you know, the upcoming show. It probably won't be the show that's released right after CES, but that next week,
yeah,
we'll, you know, report back what we saw.
Totally. So yeah, what we're gonna do is our next week's episode, which will be released right when we get done with CES, is gonna be like a CES prep show, like stuff that we want to look at, taking a look at some of the things we want to try and find and look at it there. So we'll talk about that then. It's the timing is almost really horrible because we get back. It'd be really good if we could get back Monday and record a show and release it Tuesday. I just don't think it's humanly possible. I think we're going to be dragging.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Unless we like recorded a show down there, but we won't have
tools. We don't have the resources for that yet. Next year.
Next year
we will. My promotion.
So that is we'd like also to give a special thanks to all of our listeners.
Totally.
Especially the ones that have, you know, give us some feedback and keep us, you know, to be honest, it's the motivation to keep going.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, anybody that listens to the show, we are so grateful for. But those of you who have really given us those, hey, I'm listening moments, especially thank you. You know, like I said, my buddy Rob Lund, I have another buddy, Sheldon Ross, who listens to the show. He's given us some feedback. Vasily?
Yep, Vasily. He's Vasily _M on Twitter. He emailed us, and he's a usability expert.
Totally.
And he gave us some tips on our website.
Yeah, and I'm sure our guests, we've had Paul Levette on the show. We've had Eric Wendelin. We've had David Walsh. Thank you guys for being on the show. We appreciate it. Eric Wendelin, also a very avid listener. He gives us lots of great feedback. It means the world to us. We appreciate it. You guys are great.
Yep.
So thank you all. And I hope you had a great 2009. It's been a crazy ride for all of us. And we will see you guys, well, technically we already are, in 2010.